Spring training is here. There is baseball being played on the field, and optimism is sky high for the Toronto Blue Jays. Good evening, everybody. It is Thursday, February 27th, and welcome to episode 236 of Buds and Blue Jays. It's your place for all things related to the Toronto Blue Jays. Jesse Burrell joined by Jesse Tricio, and today on the show, we are going to go through and maybe overreact a little bit about week one of spring training, take away some notes of some players that have caught our attention, some players that maybe have struggled a little bit that we might think could be long-term, and so much more. Plus, in the second half of this episode, we're going to take a look at some of the new Blue Jays promotional items that they are giving away, talk about what we like, what we don't like, which ones are we excited to see, and maybe come up with some new creative ideas that we could go forward as we start our season preview series here. Jesse, with that being said, my guy, last episode here of February, we're almost into March. Baseball season is almost here. You've got to be excited.
Oh, definitely. It makes me know that winter is almost finally coming to an end here in the Great White North, and that the time for the crisp grass, cold beers, summer air is around the corner at the Dome.
Yeah, I spent last night, actually. I went to the nation's capital. I watched a hockey game, and it was all good and fun, having, you know, being a part of a crowd and cheering. But nothing is quite like being at the Rogers Center at the Dome, and a home opener is 1 month from today. We are almost there. We are almost there. A quick programming note from us. If you are new here, first of all, welcome. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you. Please make sure to like, subscribe to the video. I want to give everyone here a rundown of what our next month is going to look like on the show. We're going to do our typical things we do every single March as we get ready for the season. So we're going to take a look around the AL East. We're going to do our Blue Jays X Factors. We're going to have our bold prediction episode coming up. And then we're going to have our official season preview episode probably 2 days before opening day. So make sure you hit that notification bell, turn those on so you can stay with us. And obviously you guys too, give us your information and your content of anything you want on here. But Jesse, with that being said, my guy, you ready to get right into the here to the episode here?
Oh, definitely ready. Like, the Jays are rolling right now.
For a while, Jesse, the Blue Jays had the best record in spring training. Unfortunately, they've lost the last two games, and spring training records don't really mean anything anyway, but it was cool to see we were 3-0. I do want to say the three Blue Jays games I watched this spring fully were the three games we won, and the two that we lost I wasn't able to watch. So the Jays are 3-0 when I am able to watch a full Blue Jays game. So, guess I just got to get my ass in front of the TV more and follow these games a little closely.
Yeah, and hopefully they can keep that streak with you watching during the regular season. We'll go 162-0.
That'd be great. I'd love that for my peace of mind, too, to get to watch baseball all summer. Oh, it'll be fantastic. But, Jesse, like you said, the Blue Jays have played five games so far this spring, and they have had their share of storylines coming through. There's a lot of places we can go, and I think we can kind of go back and forth here, picking some players or some early standouts that we've seen so far this spring. But Jesse, the floor is yours. Who was the one player 1 week into spring that has caught your attention the most so far?
Definitely, I think he's been the talk of the spring training all year. Like, so far this year, it's been Alan Rodon. Mm-hmm. We were calling for him and saying he probably should have been called up last year, but obviously the Jays didn't want to waste his service time and all that. But he's showing what he's known for. He can get on base and hit the ball. He had a couple of doubles where one was a fielding mistake by the Red Sox player, but still laid out for a double. A lot of hard hit balls. He's been playing some good defense too in left and in right. So it's definitely showing the versatility of what we can have for what he brings to the table too.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about Alan Rodon. Remember when Ross Atkins specifically pumped him up at the beginning of camp, saying that he wanted to see things from him? I think what you're seeing from Alan Rodon is pretty good here. He's got 10 plate appearances so far this spring, which is the most on the team coming into today. But he's got the two doubles. He's even been hit by a pitch too. And I was really impressed watching one of his games. He worked a very good full count walk down there too and was able to get on base. He looks like a very mature hitter for somebody who hasn't played above AAA. Do you think, Jesse, that with a good spring training, if this continues, that he can actually force his way to the big league roster this year?
I definitely can see it happening, but realistically, I don't think it will happen just because of the cluster of players we have to that fill the foreign positions with, like, Santander, Will Profito, Schneider, even Miles Straw, and, like, Nathan Lucas and good old George Springer. Like, there's so even Aston Barger, even though I feel like he'll get more reps at third. But, like, there's so many players that can play those corner outfield, and I feel like he could possibly be the odd man L and possibly be what Spencer Horwitz was last year, where, like, you get sent down. If you're raking in AAA and, like, dominating there, you play to, like, then you get the call. Like, you play to earn your spot up here.
Right, so you're probably right. That is probably the route that he's going to go in and take. But what if Alan Rodon just keeps impressing? Right? What if he starts drawing walks? What if he hits a couple more home runs this spring? And what if, like, a guy like David Schneider just doesn't put it all together? And, you know, like, is there a chance, like, if he keeps going that he could be up here? Or is it just the Blue Jays kind of already know who their 26 guys are going to be and everyone else is just kind of playing to impress at this point?
I think he definitely could play his way into the spot, like, kind of how several years ago, Ernie Clement played his way to and exiled Santiago Espinal when to take that spot a couple last year or a couple years ago. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like he could possibly do that and possibly, like, force his way in, like, Schneider and Atkins' hand with if he has a dominant spring and all that.
I'd love to see it. It would make for a great story. And you already know what's going to happen is the Blue Jays are going to probably struggle out of the gate offensively. Alan Rodon's going to be raking in double A. And where you and I probably on this podcast are going to be sitting here screaming that the Blue Jays need to call this guy up. So we will see if ultimately that gets him done. But yeah, two thumbs up for me on Alan Rodon. Probably one of the biggest stories of the spring so far. Jesse, I want to shout out one of my players here that I think has been really impressed me this spring so far, and that's Alejandro Kirk. And I know I've talked about him quite a bit on each of our last few episodes, but I'm going to bring it up again here. He is consistently hitting the ball hard all spring. He's looked so good behind the plate. In fact, we know how good Alejandro Kirk's framing is, but the fact that he took a Max Scherzer curveball, brought it in, that even Max Scherzer thought it was a strike, and he had to use the challenge system because even Alejandro Kirk fooled his own pitcher so badly that was a strike, just goes to show how good that Alejandro Kirk has been. And we've talked about it, how he's in the best shape of his life. This is the undisputed catching job for him now. And the things I'm seeing from Alejandro Kirk check all the boxes. And I am really liking what I'm seeing so far from Alejandro so far this spring.
Oh, 100%. Like we were saying, end of last year, that he's really showing, like, improved, like, his bat speed, sprint speed, his defense abilities and all that. And even this year, he came into – he was in Florida as – I think as early as November, working hard at the player development set, the PCD, and literally even looking at photos of him, how more fit and lean he looks when it comes to years past and just literally – and even, like, showing that he's seeing the seriousness being catcher, the number one catcher instead of – the tandem that he's been the last few years.
Yeah, I really like what I've seen from Kirk. As long as he can stay healthy, I do think a very big season is in store for him, especially if that power stroke can come up a little bit for Alejandro Kirk. Would love to see him do a little bit of damage here. Jesse, give me another player. Who has been your next player that's impressed you so far this spring?
Definitely, I can even say, like, just even though it was just one outing and all that, it's Mad Max. Like, his velo was up from last season. Yes, he gave up a sac fly, a triple, and a sac fly, but it was more of a miscue by Will Profito in center where he crashed in the wall.
Blue Profito is what I want to call it.
Yeah.
Blue Profito.
No, exactly. Two left Fito.
I like that too, yes.
But he looked good. He looked solid. His velo was up from last season, struck out the side, and even him being the old school guy, calling out the automated strike system too. He's like, let humans be human, and like his pick, like even his slider looked like Scherzer of old. Like just that break on it was just phenomenal.
Yeah, one takeaway from this, from watching this, is that he's not the old guy that he once was when he was winning all these Cy Young awards, but none of us expect that. But I think if this spring outing we saw from Max Scherzer shows, he's still got it. He is still a good pitcher. He is still able to do things very, very well. Four strikeouts were nice, got a lot of swings and misses on that fastball. In fact, I'm pretty sure there was a report after the game from some, I think it was the Cardinals we were playing that day, that some Cardinals hitters were saying, like Max Scherzer comes at you from that low arm slot and gets rise on that fastball. It comes on you quick. He still got that pitch. And he threw a 3-2 changeup to get a strikeout there that I forget which hitter it was, but he looked so fooled on a Max Scherzer changeup. And, I'm taking this as a plus one. Fantastic from Max Scherzer. You mentioned the velocity being up too. He threw a fastball, I think it was 94.2 miles per hour, which would have been in the top 10 of all fastest pitches he threw all last year in his first start of spring this season, which is a good sign for health for Max Scherzer. And if he's healthy and still got it, that's exactly what we're looking for from Mad Max this year.
No, exactly. And even like if he was performing like that, but like just watching him in the side session, seeing all the pitchers there, and even in his start having all the pitchers along the rail and watching him pitch, it's like just his aura and presence in the locker room and even in the bullpen and with that fraternity of pitchers we have is like he's maybe Mad Max, the professor said of just Mad Max.
I was going to ask you this a little bit later, but I'm going to ask this to you now. Max Scherzer had made some comments about he wants to make 5 or 6 starts this spring. Like he's even said, like, this is the worst time of year for pitchers. You just kind of got to ramp up and just let it go. Jose Berríos, after a start today, muttered something similar that he's also looking to make 5 starts this spring. Do you like that from your starting pitchers in spring training, especially with how old they are going into the year?
Oh, definitely, because the games, it may be only April, but those games matter so much when it comes down to the stretch run, too, because if we get to a hot start, say we do one of those runs where we're 13-3 in the first month, though that differential could be integral to us either being a wild card or even to go, say, the AL East pennant and like winning the AL East. Like that first month is crucial, like the middle parts, like, and the stretch run. Like, it's like in any sport, like the old hockey saying, the ones that matter in hockey are the ones that end in ER. So, like,
right,
this is literally the first few months, like, first month of the games. Those are crucial, not just warm up till the summer months.
Yeah, well, you know what they say, you can't win the division in April, but you can lose it in April. And we've seen some Blue Jays teams in the past lose it. Getting off to a hot start is going to be very key for the Toronto Blue Jays. And we'll touch on that more as we get into our season preview stuff later into the month of March. But I agree, getting off to a hot start, especially this year with them going quote unquote all in, is going to matter so, so much more. And Max Scherzer pitching well is going to be good, and getting those guys all ramped up is going to be a good thing for this team. Jesse, I'm going to give a kind of under the radar, I suppose, person who has impressed me so far this spring. And that is Jake Bloss. And we've talked a little bit about in our last few episodes about the state of the Blue Jays pitching depth. And we even said, like, Jake Bloss is going to be one of these guys that if he shows up, he becomes a stud, then the Blue Jays pitching isn't going to be too bad. Jesse, I don't know if this is true or exactly what to make out of this here, but he had that start in Boston's team against the Red Sox. Apparently, he threw a fastball 98 miles per hour, which there was no StatCast data, so we couldn't get a reading that. It was just the stadium radar gun. But still, Jesse, last season, Jake Bloss maybe threw a handful of times, got up to 96, but was mostly in the 93-94 range. If Jake Bloss has suddenly found another gear and now can add 98 to his fastball with all the other pitches that he can already throw, then look out. You could be looking at a guy who's probably got a much bigger upside here than we might have initially thought when we acquired him from Houston last season.
No, exactly. And I feel like last year, too, he did pitch a lot, considering like starting in low A to single A, high A, all the way up to the majors. He pitched a lot, and coming off of being a collegiate season the year prior, he probably had a lot of toll, and just that time in Buffalo helped him, and when we shut him down, it gave him that more time to rest that arm, figure out, get in the lab, and figure out what he needs to do to execute better. And also, he's a year older, for one full year of MLB regime and training, yep, off season. Definitely can help, and again, he's still young. And then me fast forwarding years down the road, or even for next season when a lot of our veteran pitchers are gone, that we do have a nucleus. If Tiedemann gets healthy, and it is what we have Manoah, we have Savage, we have a group of young arms that possibly could be that replacement to what we have now.
Right. You can never have too much pitching depth, but right now on paper, it seems like, hey, the Blue Jays might have more options here than we initially think we do in the starting rotation, and that is good. Jesse, simple yes or no question, or guess answer the question here. Does Jake Bloss spend more time pitching in Toronto this season or in Buffalo this season?
I say Buffalo just because of like the veteran presence, and it now with the addition of Yarbrough and Rodriguez being another stretch man, which we'll talk about later. But like, I feel like he'll spend a bit more time to like marinate and develop in Buffalo, just so he can really hone in his craft. And if he's lights out dominating, kind of like how Manoah was when he first came up, and like where he had like, if he's doing that, then I don't see why not bring him up. But again, too, with our veteran loaded rotation, and I feel like it would have to be like a serious injury or something like that would bring him off.
Hey, the service time has already started on Jake Bloss too. Remember, he did make the big leagues with Houston last season, so they can't even keep him down through service time manipulation. And if he shows he's good in Buffalo, I think you got to bring him up here. Jesse, I think we are going to see more of Jake Bloss in Toronto this season than we might think, right? Scherzer's not the most healthy. We have an old rotation. I'm not convinced Chris Bassett's going to be any good, and we can touch on that later. But I do think we're going to see some more Jake Bloss this year than originally planned going forward, and I think that'll be good for this team and for him.
Oh, definitely. Like, it'll be fun to see, too, because then we'll have all three pieces of that Kikuchi trade on the main roster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is fantastic. We would love that. All right, Jesse, let's go one more each. Which player has interest you, whether good or bad, so far this spring?
One I've been like following just because I wanted to see what he could bring, especially after we acquired him at the deadline last year, is Charles McAdoo.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't been lighting up like Alan Roden or like some of our other prospects, but I know today, of course, I wasn't able to watch it because it wasn't a telecast, but
yep.
he hit a home run, and by the times I've seen him at bat, like he's had some productive at bats. I remember there was a game, I think it was the Boston game, guy on second. It was a ground out by him, but he was able to get to the right side to advance that runner who eventually scored in that game.
Yep.
Productive out. He's played some solid defense. Like, obviously, he's still raw because he's like only a double A and this is his first camp. But like, he's definitely has shown some promise in why like he's so highly rated in our farm system, as well as like why there was a lot of excitement when we traded him for IKF.
Yeah, if you're looking for a prospect and you're looking at things you want to see a guy come into camp and show that he can do what it takes to compete at the big league level. Charles McAdoo has done just that. And look, Vlad doesn't have a home run this spring. George Springer doesn't have a home run yet this spring. In fact, the only people with home runs on the Blue Jays this spring are Aurelvis Martinez and now Charles McAdoo. So you can take that for what it's worth as he's gone through the games here. Jesse, I'm going to go with one more player, and this one is kind of on this list, maybe not for the best way, but that is Yariel Rodriguez. And Jesse, as we just talked about with Jake Bloss, the importance of this pitching depth going into this team, I wanted to see some better gains in the command for Yariel Rodriguez. Now, I will say it's two innings. It's the first start of spring training. We're all going to forget about this appearance as we get into March and we get into June and whatnot. But I wanted to see some more gains in the control, try to see some quicker innings, attack the zone more often. And Yariel Rodriguez just didn't do it. He ended up giving up a triple, I believe, to Trevor Story. And then Andrew Bash, who's also not looked good this spring, came up and gave up some home runs. So the line was worse. But I wanted to see just more strike throwing in general from Yariel Rodriguez, because we know the stuff can be so good. Just don't be afraid to put it in the zone, you know?
Oh, exactly. And like, things I've heard too, it's like a lot of the pitching staff says his stuff is elite, but he just needs to keep it in the middle. Like realize like he doesn't have to be nibbling at edges of the black of the plate. Like, let it go and be in the center plate, because if his stuff's breaking the way it does, and or riding the way it does with the fastball, they're still going to miss the pitch. He doesn't have to like live on the edges.
And Jesse, let's talk here, because we can't talk about impressions the first week of spring without talking about Aurelvis Martinez. He hit that one home run, the opposite field home run too, that he hit really well. Today, he went 1-for-2 as well with 2 more RBIs. I thought he's played a pretty solid third base in his limited appearances he's had there. Tell me about Aurelvis Martinez, and does he crack your opening day roster this year?
I definitely say he does crack it just because both Hawkins and Schneider has talked about like power and like producing runs and how they want to do that. Guy's showing he can go opposite field with power to get it out of the park. He'll produce runs like with the power and let alone lengthens that lineup. Even though I feel like he doesn't really have a spot in the infield, he definitely is an outfielder, so I feel like he would be a RDH just with his because of his bat. And like God forsake if Vlad leaves, I feel like that's where he's going to be. He'll be the first baseman just because of his defensive abilities and free up. He almost like an Edwin.
Yeah, but I mean, you try him at third base until he proves he can't, right? You put him there and see if he can go. And that's where the at bat for playing time is right now, is at that third base spot. I think you pair him with Will Wagner. Will Wagner faces righties. Aurelvis Martinez faces lefties. And you've got a very, very dangerous spot in the order there. And I like that better than Wagner and Davis Schneider, or Wagner and even Ernie Clement, who we like, but obviously it doesn't have the same thump, I suppose, as Aurelvis Martinez. I really do think there is a strong case to be made that he needs to be on the opening day roster. And I really do hope that that happens. All right, Jesse, anyone else that really caught your attention this spring, or should we move on to the next segment?
I definitely would say Jose Berrios looked very solid. Yes, he gave the one home run yesterday, but definitely looked solid. And like after his starting, he once said, "This is like sure, I want to make 5 stars." Like he definitely looks good, and if he can do what he did last April, where he was, we all were thinking he could possibly win the Cy Young and all that with how good he was in April. If he can have that like a run like that to start the season and keep it going. And the way he looked this spring training with a star-studded lineup of the Phillies, where he kept them at bay, and intrigued me to see how he performed.
Yeah, it was very good. You want to see, because Jose Berrios is going to be very important for the future of this Blue Jays and for the success this year. So you want to see him put together more of those consistent starts than the bad one. And I think for him, it's just getting that workload up, which today was a good baseline to set for Jose Berrios. I like that as well. All right, Jesse, this next segment, I want to talk about, does this stuff really matter? And I'm going to bring it up, and you, I guess, on a scale of 1 to 10, or just a simple yes or no, or however you want to go for it, tell me how much this really matters going into this season. And the first one was with swing changes. I noticed that both Joey Loperfido and Davis Schneider both like they had made notable swing changes this season. Do any of those matter to you?
If they're hitting the ball and not stringing out like they were last year, then definitely. Again, I didn't see much of like Loperfield or Schneider like with the games the last few games, but if they're able to make contact instead of striking out and be productive, then definitely it works. But we shall see.
Yeah, Davis Schneider has like that really big leg kick now. It's almost like Josh Donaldson-esque, where he puts it very high up and then plants it, then kind of gets into his squat and his swing that we've seen from Davis Schneider. So more moving parts I don't love, but if it is a timing issue and we saw Davis Schneider really struggle with his timing last season, then maybe this could be a good thing for him. And Joey Loperfido just looks like he got a lot of the length gone out of his swing. And I wonder if we can see the StatCast data for this. I'll look it up in a minute. But it does seem like his swing is still shorter. And Joey Loperfido has always had that elite bat speed, which makes some of the tools so exciting. And I thought the swing change might do well to unlock something to him there. But again, very minor stuff until we start to see results.
No, exactly. It's still early. And if they're producing later in spring and really making a case, then we definitely can say the swing change has helped.
Okay. Then what about this piece of news, Jesse? And that's Dalton Varsho actually might be ahead of schedule and is planning to be the designated hitter in the game tomorrow. Apparently, he's throwing from 120 feet now. He's shagging fly balls and he is running. Jesse, we talked all offseason about how Dalton Varsho might not be ready for opening day. But what do you think? Is Dalton Varsho going to be on our opening day roster now?
If everything's good and like his arm, like shoulder isn't barking with, after throwing like 120 feet, like they're saying, this could be very huge, especially with the first few series that the Jays have against the Orioles and Nationals, and if he's there for that, it can really help lengthen our lineup too, especially knowing that we have a platinum glove caliber defender in the center field. And we're not sticking someone like Lou Perfetto or someone, or putting Springer back in center field where it could possibly cost us, or having Miles Straw there.
Right. Dalton Varsho is one of the best players on this team, just plain and simple. And the fact that he's here, at worst, he might miss a week. Like maybe he spends the first minimum 10 days on the IL just to be safe. But I think he's going to be ready to go, and we will see how he looks in the game tomorrow. What's really going to matter for Dalton Varsho, one, like you mentioned, is how he recovers from his throws. Well, what's that shoulder going to feel like when he runs into a wall for the first time? Or if he has to dive on a play to make a field in the outfield? Like, how is that going to feel for Dalton Varsho? And I think that's the final test. Once you know he's good and he's able to recover from that fine, then he'll be all systems go. And I think it's going to be a really good season for Dalton Varsho this year.
Oh, definitely. And it can only go up from the past few years, so.
Well, it could get worse, Jesse. But let's not hope so for Dalton Varsho, as we're going to need him this year. All right. Next piece of news, or is this news, Jesse? Tony Taters, Anthony Santander, is yet to appear into camp because he's having some sort of visa issue. We've seen this in the past. Jimmy Garcia had a visa issue for a while. I think Yariel Rodriguez last camp had a bit of a visa issue getting here. At what point do we start to get worried that Anthony Santander is not in camp?
I think it's minor, because there's film today of him in the cages swinging. So I feel like it's all said and done, and they're saying he'll probably be in the lineup in one of the two games tomorrow.
Oh, perfect. So there we go. Problem solved, done and taken care with. Love that for Anthony Santander. It'll be excited to see him get into a game yet. Another Blue Jay we have yet to see in a spring training game is Kevin Gausman, but apparently he has been throwing some things on the backfields yet. He says he's very confident about where he is right now, and he said it's a, quote, night and day difference between how he feels this spring versus how he felt last spring. So what is your thoughts on this and Kevin Gausman saying these quotes about him?
Well, it's definitely, I think it can be better than where he felt last year with his shoulder issue. And he did throw, I believe today was a 30-pitch live, simulated game. So from what I saw, it went well. His velo was around what it normally is at. So, I feel like that's all signs are good for that. And if he can be the Gausman of old or mostly of old, then I feel like this, with Scherzer and our veteran, if they're producing their old ways, I'll take that any day because their old ways are still pretty elite.
Yeah. Remember, Kevin Gausman looked a lot better in the second half of last year when we argued that he was finally starting to feel fully healthy. And if he's fully healthy now, and even if he can get just a little bit more run on that splitter, get a little bit more separation, maybe add a little tick more velocity, I think Kevin Gausman is on for a better season. And the decline we all think is coming isn't going to hit us as hard as we think it does for Kevin Gausman. Add that too with the reports that John Snyder say he looks a lot more sturdier. It looks like he's added some good weight to him. I think it's all systems go for Kevin Gausman. I'm actually thoroughly excited. I think we're going to get quite a good player here from Kevin Gausman this season.
Oh, definitely. I feel like it could possibly turn back the clock of maybe the 2022 season with him, his first year with the Jays, or even what he did in 23, where he was a possible Cy Young candidate.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we'll get there, but I still think there are some people in the industry that are just writing Kevin Gausman off, thinking he's cooked. Not there. Not happening. He's going to be pretty good. Probably similar lines to what he had last year, maybe in close to what Jose Berríos does in a typical year. And I think that's exactly what the Blue Jays need from Kevin Gausman. Jesse, some injury updates coming out of the camp. It hasn't been anything too serious, but Eric Swanson seems to be ramping up from his forearm issue that he had that slowed him down to start the camp. He has yet to get into a game, but it does seem like he will get into some games before spring is over. We saw that Addison Barger actually took a pitch and got hit in the hand. He had to be removed from the game, but as you said on Twitter earlier today, Addison Barger back into the lineup today, so that was good to see. And Joey Loperfido, as we mentioned earlier, ran into that wall on the Max Scherzer start. He had to leave the game as well, but no concussion symptoms. He's probably going to be back into the lineup tomorrow here as well, so... So far, so good. Knock on wood. No real injuries for the Toronto Blue Jays, except for like the Adam Akko one that we mentioned last episode. So far, so good on the injury front.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And again, like with the Loperfido, he also was in the cage in the group with Santander today. So like there was clips of him in the park. So it shows that he's still probably just a little stiff, like crashing the wall and all that. And Barger's just too muscular to be here for long.
I'm actually glad you brought that up because I am starting to get worried that Addison Barger has added too much muscle. I don't know if that's a thing to get worried about, but I remember Adam Lind, his last years here, he added a lot of muscle in the chest and he really couldn't get to those inside pitches just because his chest was so massive. He couldn't get to that spot. And I'm starting to wonder if maybe Addison Barger is too jacked. Maybe I'm just jealous of how jacked he is. I don't know, but it's just a thought I wanted to put out here.
I think Barger's more just trying to go for the Mr. Olympia possibly or the Arnold Classic that's coming up.
I mean, I know he's got a family and some kids and stuff, but I want to say he's been the Blue Jays' most eligible bachelor since what, Kelly Gruber? We'd get Liz back on the show and we can have her take on that.
Exactly. And then we just got inspired for him with our post from yesterday being the best shape of our lives. And now having the sleeve monsters take our sleeves off our shirts so we have the guns out.
It's not just Addison Barger, Jesse. It's us here as well, and we do enjoy that. Two more pieces of news. This is just a simple quote from new hitting coach David Popkins that just says, "I love damage." Jesse, what do we take from this?
I love it too.
Love it. Let's go. Yes. Who doesn't love damage? This is a very big change in philosophy from last spring when Don Mattingly was saying things like, "I don't think we really need to do damage. I hate that word." You know, John Schneider echoed that a few times. There are lots of ways to create damage. Nah, Dave Popkins is like, no, we understand we need different approaches and stuff to get the best out of our team, but we love damage. And it's kind of funny though, Jesse, at this point last spring, the Blue Jays had hit more home runs already than so far this spring's team has. So small sample size noise, spring training doesn't even matter anyway, but I just thought that was kind of curious.
That C-ball smash ball.
Buddy, that is sick. Get that on a t-shirt. I absolutely love that. And then the last bit of news that came across here, Chris Bassitt was the bat boy for the Toronto Blue Jays, as we saw from Tim Mesa last season for loser of their fantasy football punishment. I didn't watch the video that was narrated by Eric Swanson when they talked deep about Chris Bassitt as a bat boy, but what were your thoughts on this? Did you like this?
Well, it's not. I feel like now it's going to be the tradition for the first spring training game for the Jays. And Eric Swanson, when he's done baseball, he definitely has to narrate for a National Geographic.
So yeah, was it good?
His subtle voice. Oh, yeah, and especially the comedy part within it where he's like, did I lose my accent?
Okay, maybe I will have to check that out then. And I'm sure Blue Jays fans have seen the thing. It's on the social media channels. Same record for Chris Bassitt on his fantasy football team than Tim Mesa had last year, 4-10. And also, too, last season for Tim Mesa was quite disastrous for the Toronto Blue Jays. He ended up being DFA'd. And I hope that doesn't happen to Chris Bassitt here, who is a typical slow starter as well, right? And maybe he just doesn't bounce back as well. And I'm hoping this doesn't become like the curse of the Blue Jays season, where if you become the bat boy in the first game of spring, you end up being doomed for a bad season. Because that could be a narrative that gets started here if Chris Bassitt has a bad year.
Well, I feel like they can DFA him, especially when we talk about the giveaways.
Yes, and in fact, let's actually get into that for the second half of this episode here. Actually, one more piece of news. We're getting excited about talking about giveaways, but I don't think we've talked about Ryan Yarbrough joining the Blue Jays here. He signed late last week, and so we can spend a minute on it here. $2 million is what he's going to make now, and Jacob Barnes, who is a minor league free agent who we brought in as well, will make $1.4 million this year if he is on the big league team. What does this Ryan Yarbrough move mean? One, Jesse, is he on your opening day roster? And then what does this mean for a guy like Yariel Rodriguez, who the Blue Jays have been adamant are still trying to build up as a starter this spring?
I think he definitely will be on our opening day roster because he gets that left-handed, another lefty in the pen, at length. Especially if, again, like we need a spot start here and there, especially with our aging rotation. What it means possibly for Rodriguez, maybe they see him more as a middle relief instead of a long man, and or possibly be a high leverage pitcher like he was in Japan, just and so he can eliminate some of his pitches, and he just becomes a dominant bullpen piece for us.
I think this does give the Blue Jays the option to do just that. If every starter stays healthy and you want to start shortening Yariel Rodriguez limits so he can be a high usage guy out of your bullpen, then I see that. I get that. But I don't, like, here's what I don't understand, Jesse. So say it's opening series, right? Say Jose Barrios struggles in his first start like he did against Texas a few years ago, and he's pulled in like the second inning. Who's coming out of the pen first? Is it Yariel Rodriguez to eat up a few innings, or is it Ryan Yarbrough to eat three or four innings? Like who's the first one that they're going to call to be that left?
I feel like it'd be Yarbrough, because like you look how good he did near the latter part of last season and what he's done in his career as that, like either opener or secondary pitcher after the opener.
It is true. It's also, too, worth noting, as good as Ryan Yarbrough was for the Blue Jays last year, there's no guarantee he'll be that guy again. Like, the Dodgers were really willing to give this guy away. For what? It was Kevin Biggio? No, it was...
Kiermaier.
Kiermaier, who went there, who didn't play much for them, and we didn't get a prospect back or anything. So just, you know, it's... Don't be surprised if Ryan Yarbrough maybe gives up a few home runs or something like that going into this season. But I agree. I think there, even though nothing has been said, I think he was probably told, like, yeah, you can be our long man out at the pen, and might even make some starts for this team for Ryan Yarbrough.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, another veteran piece for that bullpen, and even on, even in the clubhouse, just to be that presence and have accountability and that knowing how to win.
Mm-hmm. Which does matter. And the Jays have had success signing these longtime Tampa Bay Rays guys and joining our team. I think of Kevin Kiermaier as an example. This guy will be no exception. It'll be nice to have Yarbs back in the fold. All right, Jesse, we teased it enough. Let's get into the promotional events that the Blue Jays are going to give away this year as we can get excited for going into the Dome this summer. It was weird. The Blue Jays took a long time to actually announce their promo schedule this season. A lot of other teams were getting through and rolling it out. The Blue Jays took quite a while, but it did finally drop, and there's a lot. We're not going to go here and list through all of them that they're going to go through, but the main things you need to know are Looney Dog Nights are still here every Tuesday night at the Rogers Center home game. They are doing Friday nights will be City Connect nights instead of just every night game at home, so every Friday will be the City Connect stuff, and there is some cool City Connect merch being offered out here. A lot of cool stuff. There are bobbleheads, there are jerseys, the Junior J Saturday is still here yet again. And also one thing I noticed, Jesse, there's no more work from Dome this year. So they finally got rid of that in the Blue Jays.
They heard our bitching.
They did, yes, and they finally got rid of that. So Jesse, you've had a look to see through all the items that they are giving away here. What was your favorite or the thing that caught your attention or maybe the thing you're excited about the most from these promotions?
So I'll say one thing that caught my wife's attention is the Hello Kitty knapsack.
Yes.
She's like, both my daughter and her are obsessed with it. So they were like, oh, that'd be like, they want it. But of course that game is, we're also having my daughter's birthday. So we're SOL there. But the one that caught my eye, and people that know me, no surprise, is the Chris Bassett basketball jersey. Because anyone that knows me, I don't like wearing sleeves, especially when it gets above 15 degrees. Sun's out, guns out, that's how the way it is. Try to be like Barger and show out the muscles.
It's pretty cool. It's a City Connect sleeveless jersey for Chris Bassett, too. It's kind of funny. This is very different from like the typical Chris Bassett stuff, because didn't he have the camo gear a few years ago that he went out, which is very Chris Bassett? I don't see Chris Bassett being much of a basketball guy, but I think this would be cool. This would be something we could rep. And that'll be Friday, May 2nd for the Chris Bassett basketball jersey, which looks really cool. And the Hello Kitty one, I believe, is April 19th, a Saturday, for the Hello Kitty one. Jesse, I'm most excited about fireworks at the Dome. We're going to have a fireworks show a handful of times now throughout the season. August 1st, Friday night, 10 minutes after this game, post-game, there's going to be a fireworks show. I didn't even know they could do this with the Dome. I mean, the Dome's going to have to be open, right, to have this fireworks show? Like, I don't think you can close the Dome and have this, right?
it's almost like turning back the clock back in the, I think it was the late 90s, early 2000s. Whenever they hit a home run, they would always do the fireworks and all
that's
that.
True.
And I remember, like, when Joe Carter hit that home run, the fireworks went off. I got terrified of being high under my seat.
Well, that'll happen. But I will say, Jesse, I was in Pittsburgh last May watching the Blue Jays play down there, and Pittsburgh had a phenomenal fireworks show after the game over the Allegheny River and stuff there. And it'll be hard for the Blue Jays to match that, but I think the fact that they're going to try and going to do it, I think it's actually going to go quite well. As long as it's weather permitted and they can get through and they don't have to cancel them, I think a fireworks show at the Rogers Center, and yeah, they're doing it on August 29th as well, I think it's going to be very, very cool and fun. And I'd like to get out to one of those games to do that this year.
Oh, definitely. Nothing beats a good fireworks show.
All right, Jesse, let's look at the bobbleheads. And the Blue Jays are doing a few this year. They're doing a typical Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Silver Slugger bobblehead, where it's happening week one of the season. We're getting an Alejandro Kirk bobble arm bobblehead. So his head doesn't waddle, his arm will waddle behind the plate. That's Wednesday, April 30th for that one. We have a Dalton Varsho Gold Glove bobblehead where it looks like he's climbing the wall. This one might be my favorite. That'll be on Wednesday, May 14th. I might try to get out for that one there. And I'm looking through the other bobbleheads now. Oh, we got a Jeff Hoffman one, July 21st, but no design on what that looks like yet. So we'll have to wait and see. July 23rd, we'll get a Salsa Night and Dancing Vlad bobblehead giveaway. We get the Anthony Santander Switch Hitters bobbleheads. That'll be on August 13th. I think there's two of them. It's just him standing there, one from each side of the plate. We got an Andrés Giménez bobblehead this year, August 25th, of him just diving for a baseball. And I believe, yes, that is all of them. So do you have a favorite out of all the ones that you have seen or one that you're trying to make sure you get this year?
I know the friend of the show, Mish, would definitely be wanting this one. It's definitely the Alejandro Kirk bobble arm. That's like, you know, like, it's so perfect, especially because how good of a framer he is. It's like, it just,
yep,
it's definitely one there. And also, one thing I noticed when it came to, like, a lot of the promotions, there's other ones too. There's a lot of Andrés Giménez ones. I'm like, he has, I think, a jersey giveaway as well as now a bobblehead. So, like, I think they're trying to push him to be a fan favorite because he's going to be here for a while.
And I think Andrés Giménez is going to be a fan favorite. Like, when we had Zach from Out the Corner on our show after the trade, and he was talking about the love the Guardians fans had for Andrés Giménez, I don't think it's going to take long for us this season to really fall in love with Andrés Giménez and what he can do, especially if he can hit a little bit. I think that's going to be really, really cool for him there. I think I'm excited most for the switch hitter bobblehead Anthony Santander one, just because maybe I'm most excited for Anthony Santander. And if they nail the Jeff Hoffman one, I think I'm going to really like that too.
Yeah, I think if I correct it for the Jeff Hoffman one, it's like a Thanos theme or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, they're going around that route. We'll post something about it when that does happen. Some other giveaways that they are bringing out this year. You're getting a toque if you are going on opening day. So Jesse and I are going to get a toque that day. It's going to be quite small. It's fine, but it's a toque. There's a City Connect Friday bomber jacket giveaway, which I think looks pretty cool. That'll be on Friday, April 18th. That is pretty sick. There is a Minecraft hat. Jesse, are you a Minecraft player? Have you ever gotten into that?
Nope.
Nope, me neither. But you can get a hat if you're there on Saturday, May the 3rd. There is just a normal Night Mode City Connect hat on Friday, May 16th. There is a Barbie Game Day Blue Jay Hawaiian Barbie t-shirt. If you're into that sort of thing, you can get that.
I might have to get that because if people know me, I like my crazy shirts too, especially in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. So you'll get one of those too. There is a George Springer replica football jersey, and we saw what was the Springer hockey jersey that we had last year, which was actually quite a big hit. Now it looks like you get a Toronto Argos themed George Springer football jersey this year. That'll be really cool. It's Vlad Jr. who actually gets the hockey jersey this year. That'll be on Friday, May 30th, coming out. It's like a City Connect Night Mode one. It's got the red, blue, and black t-shirt. That looks pretty cool. There's Cricket Day at the park again. There's golf tickets giveaway. There's a fanny pack night for Pride Night. There's a red jersey on Canada Day. There's a lot of giveaways, a lot more than honestly I thought we were going to get. My question to you, Jesse, if you could create one piece of Blue Jays merch item that you could give away or you could go to the game and get, what would it be?
I was thinking this while we were talking about this. Tony Tater's Mr. Potato Head.
That would be so fun. That would be fantastic. Anthony Santander's face on a Mr. Potato Head. Haven't the Blue Jays done a Mr. Potato Head theme thing in the past? Or there has been a major league team who's done this, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, definitely, probably. But I just, with the nickname, it just writes itself like Tony Tater, like a Mr. Potato Head, but it's Tony Tater.
That is so sick. I would love that. That should be the bobblehead, honestly. Screw the switch hitter one that he's getting. Give me a Tony Tater's bobblehead one. And I still think they need to find a restaurant at Rogers Center, too, who can come in and they can serve these tater tots. Like, it would be really fantastic. You can have Tony's tater tots. So I really think that would be nice.
Tater tot poutine or like a tater tot nacho.
Yeah. I'd eat that in support of Tony Tater's. I'd eat anything. It'd be nice to get that
again. So. Seafood diet. Seafood, and I'll eat it.
You don't have to tell that again to me, my guy. That looks very good. All right. Well, that is it for the Blue Jays promotions and stuff this way. I'm sure they will come out with a little bit more as the season does go on. It's going to be very exciting to see here. Jesse, I guess our next episode, we're going to be taking a look around the rest of the AL East. So do you have a prediction, I guess, or something you are watching for this next week of spring?
I want to see how the retirement home Yankees downfall is, and if all the moves with the Red Sox, if they actually are going to be as good as they look on paper. When it comes to the Orioles, we'll see if the kids just take the next level, like how we thought the Jays would when our young core first came up. And then the Rays are just a race who have no home.
Yeah, and we will dive deeper into all of those things on next week's episode as we get through, and we're going to take a deeper look at all of those teams. It's going to be very exciting to see where the Blue Jays stack in with those. In the meantime, though, the Blue Jays just really need to stay healthy. They really need to get their stuff together here, and I want to see more. I want to start seeing some of the regulars play a little bit more. I want to see Bo Bichette get in the lineup a little bit more, maybe hit a home run. I want to see Vladdy get in there, finally hit a home run. I'd love to see, you know, Santander and these and Will Wagner really start to get going. Like, the guys we think are going to provide, that are going to be the main core or cogs of this team. I want to see them start to get rolling a little bit, including a healthy Dalton Varsho. So I'm very excited to see that. And please, everyone, just stay healthy.
Yeah, we don't need no more injuries. Just be healthy and be ready to all systems go on March 27th when we're all there.
All right, good. And just for the last little 5 minutes or so on this episode, because we're kind of running out of stuff to talk about, Jesse, I just want to make you guess, I suppose, some Blue Jays spring training stat leaders so far. And look, this is just for fun. We don't think any of these are really real. Spring training stats do not matter. In fact, you're probably best if you don't even look at them at all, right? So, but I want to see if you can really guess how these players have done so far this spring and see what they're going at. So, Jesse, I already mentioned early in the episode, so it might be a giver, but two Blue Jays have hit home runs so far this spring. Who are they?
Charles McAdoo and Aurelius Martinez. And for the people that say they do matter, look at the history of remember Gabe Gross.
Yes, Gabe Gross led Blue Jays in spring. But also true, you'll remember Jose Bautista also hit like 9 home runs in the 2010 season in spring training before hitting 54 in the regular season that year. So sometimes these things do matter when they're associated with like a difference in skill or a difference something that they've made. But don't look at a guy who has got a ton of RBIs and you think, oh, he's going to be an impact piece. Like Brian Servin led the Blue Jays in RBIs last spring. And well, there's that for you. With that being said, though, Jesse, can you tell me who the Blue Jays leader in RBIs is so far this spring?
Alan Rodon.
It's not Alan Rodon. Alan Rodon is actually leading in runs scored, but not RBIs so far. You'll remember the Blue Jays have had a big game where they scored a lot of runs late, so a lot of these leaders are actually the guys on the lower end of the roster. This does not include the game today because Fangraphs hasn't edited it yet, but it's a five-way tie. It's like Josh Kasevich, Devontae Brown, Michael Stefniak all have two, Alejandro Kirk has two, and Stuart Broa has two. I guess McAdoo with a 3-run home run today automatically has 3, so he move ahead on this list if you include the games today. Jesse, which Blue Jays batter has struck out the most so far this spring?
I remember, I think I read it or heard. Is it Will Wagner?
Will Wagner's tied for first, yes. He's had 3 at-bats. He struck out twice. Also, too, before the game today, every single at-bat Will Wagner had faced so far this spring, except for one, was against a lefty, which is not good for him. So I would like to see how he performs against the lefty. The other one, Stuart Baroa, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and Christian Bethencourt have both struck out twice so far this spring. Jesse, the stolen base leader for the Toronto Blue Jays. In fact, three Blue Jays have stolen a base, and they've only stolen one. Can you name them?
Andreas Giménez.
He got one, yeah.
Stuart Baroa.
Baroa did not get one. Miles Straw got caught stealing.
I remember seeing that one yesterday.
Riley Tirota is one of them. He probably wouldn't have got that. He stole it late in his game in game two. This other one's a regular. I think he led the Blue Jays, well, maybe after Springer. He was second on the team in stolen bases just last season.
Jeez, now I have to think of that. What's the basis for Ernie Clement?
Ernie Clement, yes, has also stolen a base this spring. Next simple question, Jesse. Who just leads the Toronto Blue Jays in hits so far this spring?
Alejandro Kirk?
It's not Alejandro Kirk. In fact, it's two names that we've already mentioned quite a bit so far this spring.
Rodon and Martinez?
No, it's Ernie Clement has four hits already so far this spring, and Stuart Baroa has four hits so far this spring.
Is he can hit the ball?
He tried. Apparently, he tries to bunt sometimes too, but I've always said if you're going to do it, at least do it this spring. On the pitching side, we haven't really seen a ton. It's all very small sample size noise. No pitcher has thrown more than 2 2/3 innings, and that was Jose Berríos today. But which Blue Jay has struck out the most batters so far this spring?
Max Scherzer.
It is Max Scherzer. He struck out four. Here's one. Which Blue Jay has hit the most opposing batters so far this year? So hit by pitches.
Dick Lovelady.
No, he's got one. He is second. Mason Fluharty has actually hit two batters.
Good thing he doesn't throw hard.
That's the thing. And it's soft and winding, and it probably won't hurt that much. Unless you care about wild pitches stats or anything else like that, it's not there. But what matters is the Blue Jays are no longer top of the Grapefruit League either. As with the two losses, we have now moved down in the Grapefruit League standing. So our run for a perfect spring training has now come to an end.
Oh, what a shame.
It is a shame, isn't it? Jesse, that's all I got for an episode here. We're going to cut it a little short, I believe, unless there was something else you wanted to throw in here.
Nope, definitely. It's early in spring. It's too early to really break it down as best as we can. But stay tuned. There will be more in-depth stuff and more spicy takes or reactions to what we see during the next few weeks of spring training, and before we know it, it'll be opening day at the Rogers Center.
Opening day 1 month from today. We are almost there. Thank you everybody for watching and tuning in. The month of March is a very big month for us, as we'll be pushing out a ton of content as we get ready for opening day. So please make sure to like, subscribe, and give us a 5-star review on all of your podcast platforms, just so you can help the show. It really is the best way to help us grow. For Jesse Tricio, I'm Jesse Burrell. Thank you all for watching and listening to the episode here today. We will be back next week to take a deep dive around the AL East and take a look at any more news that might come out of Blue Jays spring training this week. But until then, let's go Blue Jays.
Thanks, guys. See ball, smash ball.
See ball, smash ball.